Warning, the Stone Age Gamer includes a lot of bad language. Cover your mother f***ing ears.
Good evening and welcome to episode 153 of the Stone Age Gamer podcast for the week of June 9th, 2017. I'm Chris Randazzo and joining me, as always, is Unwanted Rabbids crossover Dan Ryan.
Is there ever a wanted rabbit? See, like, because you say that as if, like, this is the one that's unwanted, but at another time it might be okay.
I mean, I would want a rabbits crossover with, like, Guar.
I didn't know I wanted that until just now, but yeah.
It's that wonderful time of year again when Dan and I make asses of ourselves trying to predict what's going to happen at E3. But before we go any further, here's your weekly reminder that you can email us at mail@geekade.com. Let us know what you think of our show, what topics you would like us to discuss in the future, or just say hello, because we want to hear from you, the listener. And you know what? I'm thinking of this right off the top of my head. I have to thank somebody who is... We put this show on YouTube for some reason, and... People watch it on YouTube, again, some reason. They do. We get some views on there. It goes up on the Stone Age Gamer YouTube channel. And there's a guy, I'm pretty sure it's a guy, who comments on pretty much every episode that we post. And I just wanted to give a Monster Society, whoever you are, with your super cool Shazam Captain Marvel logo thingy on the side here. Whoever you are, thank you so much for listening and commenting. Like, there's one comment on pretty much every episode of Stone Age Gamer, and it's always this Monster Society guy, and it makes my day every time. So, Monster Society, thanks for listening. You're awesome.
That is awesome.
Let's see. We've got a little bit of house cleaning to do here. So, right now, before I ask Dan how he's doing and get through our usual fun conversation, let me finish the housekeeping up. We've got, the Summer Series poll winners. We put up our Stone Age Gamer podcast Summer Series poll, where people were choosing between Newtopia 2, Echo the Dolphin, Fuzzanadu, Super Turrican 2, Psycho Fox, and Ninja Gaiden Shadow. And we had people do different Facebook emoticons or emojis or whatever the hell you want to call them to vote for things. And here are the standings. In last place, with one vote, Super Turrican 2.
That made me so was that sad. Your vote, Chris?
That was. I didn't vote. I didn't vote.
I didn't vote either. I didn't want to skew the voting.
The results, neither did I. Next, with four votes, was Psycho Fox. I'm genuinely surprised that got so few votes.
I don't think anybody knows what it is. Like, and I don't say that in, like, a schmarmy hipster kind of way. Like, it's just not a very well-known game.
I only know about it because Banjo-Kazooie did an amazing cover of its theme music.
Yeah.
That's the first time I ever heard of it. Next above that, with only six votes, Ninja Gaiden Shadow.
Really?
Yeah. Again, thought that was going to get some more. Yeah. Next above that was Echo the Dolphin with 10 votes. So you're in the clear, Dan.
Oh, I was going to say, we're not repeating these for the next vote, right? Like, there's no chance that
we're
shows
not going to repeat
again.
Any of these for the next vote.
Thank
so
God.
That means
Thank
that our winners, the
for
two games,
not picking Echo the Dolphin, listeners of the Stone Age Gamer. I hate that game so much.
You know, I'm throwing
so
Tides of Time on that list. But Tiff just... Echo the Dolphin, the Sega CD version.
Oh, God damn it. Tiff just walked in here and pointed at me and said, I voted for that one.
She did vote for that one, and I appreciated that.
God, I don't appreciate that at all. She wants me to just be miserable.
She wants you to experience sweet dolphin science fiction action.
I am sure there is a website that I can visit.
So the winners of the poll, with 18 votes, Newtopia 2, and the number one winner with 22 votes, Fuzzanadu. So nice. Dan and I will be playing Newtopia 2 and Fuzzanadu over the next month, and in July we'll talk about the whole thing. So feel free to play along with us. What's that?
I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, I'm pretty jazzed about it too. Those were definitely, I mean, there were no games on the list I didn't want to play. So unlike you, you really didn't want to play Echo. I was totally down to play any and all these games. So I'm pretty jazzed about it. Hopefully I'll be able to get my games set back up soon so I can start playing. And we'll make that happen. So the last piece of housekeeping is you can see us at Too Many Games. Too Many Games is the Philadelphia, Pennsylvania Convention Center. It is a game convention. It is freaking awesome. And we're going to be there. I'm going to be working there all 3 days. I'll be working at the Stone Age Gamer booth, selling Everdrives, which is kind of my thing. Stone Age Gamer is also going to be debuting their Neo SD Flash, Flash cart for Neo Geo, which is freaking cool.
That's really cool.
Sent me a bunch of specs on it and whatnot. It's a really, really nice looking device. It seems to work very, very well. But there's also a few other fancy things there. So let's see. It's June 23rd through 25th. So it's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday at the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center in Oaks, Pennsylvania. And you can do this. You can do this, brain. That's not the right thing. I should have been so much more well prepared for this. I knew I was going to talk about it. Did I write the details in my script? I did. So we have a panel. We do a panel every year at Too Many Games, and this year is no exception. Me, Dan, and Dean will be doing the It's Dangerous to Go Alone, Take 20 Bucks, which is basically where we all go around, try to find the most ridiculous thing we can for 20 bucks, and the audience gets to choose which one of us wins. And that's going to be on June 23rd at 8:30 p.m. in Panel Room 3. It's going to be followed immediately by this month's 10-20-30. So we'll be doing that at the panel as well as our silly little game thing. So that's going to be a hoot. And also on Saturday, June 24th from 3 to 5 p.m., you can challenge me to the Swap Till You Drop Puyo Puyo Tetris Tournament, where we will be playing in swap mode. And that's pretty much all the rules I know, and I don't know who I'm going to be playing against. But it should be a hoot.
A hoot, I say.
I have been practicing my Puyo Puyo Tetris quite a bit. I'm still only moderately good at Puyo Puyo.
I'm still awful, but I've been practicing.
I've graduated past awful, thank you. I've gone
now
from awful
slightly terrible
to half decent to, I'd say, moderately okay.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, let's start this podcast. Dan, what's new with you?
Nothing, man.
Work good talk.
Podcast over. Good night, everybody. No, work is really crazy right now, as it always is this time of year, so... It's there's just not much time for anything else. Plus, I don't know if I talked about it on here about me going back to grad school, but I will be going back to grad school again, because one graduate degree is not enough. I need more. So that's also starting up. So like extra time is a thing that I am losing. So that's not cool. Not excited about that, but you know, whatever, it's fine. I'll still manage to squeeze in time for some games, definitely at least Xanadu and Newtopia 2 and Breath of the Wild eventually.
Yeah, I actually started up a new save file of Breath of the Wild this morning. my son wanted to play, and I was like, you know what, let's do this. So I
let's start this over.
I only like walked out of the first cave. We literally played for 5 minutes. So like we watched the opening cinematic, walked out of the cave, and was like, and that's time to go to school. So
off we go.
So that was fun. But what's really been eating up my time lately is I went back and started playing the DLC from Blaster Master Zero.
Mm.
It's really good. I didn't think I'd enjoy it this much. They had a couple of free downloads where you could play as different characters in Blaster Master Zero. And did I talk about it on the show? Did I talk about this at all?
I think so.
Yeah. So I'm playing the Gunvolt one. And so you play as, you know, the character from Azure Striker Gunvolt. And yeah, you play like him. So that really...
You did talk about this. Yeah. How it, yeah, like... In the same world, but with a completely different feel.
It's kind of like the Plague Knight DLC, you know what I mean?
Right.
Where it's just like, it's the same game, but it plays totally different. So, like, I haven't played much of Azure Striker Gunvolt, and I didn't really understand the way he works. But what's cool is, like, he doesn't take fall damage like Jason does in Blaster Master. So you're actually kind of a badass out of your tank in the side-scrolling segments. Like, you can jump super high. You have pretty much the same kind of moves where you're just shooting your gun to target things, and then you can, like, zap them from pretty much any distance. Like, you're really powerful. You can do wall jumps and stuff, so you can get to all these different places. It's nuts. But he's also weak as hell in the water because it's all of his powers are, like, electricity-based, and they don't really work underwater. So it's pretty wild. I'm really, really enjoying it. It's like, the game's so freaking good to begin with, and this works so incredibly well playing as this character. Like, I'm really, really jazzed about it, and I'm pretty stoked to try out this other character too. I don't even really know what she's from, but it's nothing I've ever heard of. But it's a blast. Or a master. Ha ha! I'm hilarious.
You are hilarious.
I am. All right. So that's been fun. Yay games. And speaking of games, E3 is coming next week. Man, I'm excited about this E3. I really don't know what to expect. So having this whole predictions episode was really kind of interesting for me to sit down and be like, all right, let's pull some stuff out of my ass. So.
Yeah, right. Me too. Like, sitting down and being like, all right, I have no idea what's coming up because, like, it's not Puzzle and Dragons related, so I don't know.
I mean, I pay attention to what's going on in the game world, but, like, I don't know what the hell's going on with Microsoft. Like, I just don't hear about them anymore. So,
do we want to start with Microsoft?
Yeah, let's start with Microsoft. So we're going to split this in half, right? We're doing the first ones. We're going to do our realistic predictions. These are things that we actually think are going to happen. And then the second half, we're going to do our stupid predictions. We're like, boy, this would be cool, but it's never going to happen.
Right.
So let's start with Microsoft. I came up with three predictions. What do you have?
I've got four. I've got four serious and four ridiculous.
All right. So all right, you go first then, since you've got four.
Okay. I'm looking at your thing. Hold on. Go to my notes. I'm sorry. Excuse me here. Okay. All right. So, my first big prediction, I don't think, and I don't want to just Microsoft bash. Like, I really don't. Like, I'm going to, because
that's but you just, get no joy from it.
But I don't. Scorpio will be fully revealed, fully priced, all of that good stuff, and no one's going to care.
You know what I love about this prediction? I thought that already happened.
And see, I think that's the problem, because you're right. Like, there's no...
Have they not, like, fully unveiled Scorpio with price and everything yet?
I don't think so.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure they haven't.
I mean, I don't, I'm legitimately asking. I don't know. I thought they did already, and no one cared.
I don't think so. They might have. That makes us terrible people. Oh, well. Oh man. No, I don't, I really don't think they have, but yeah, like, because this is their 4K system, right? Like, this is their big foray into to keeping up with the PS4 Pro. Mm-hmm. And they are so far behind right now, and like, it used to be back in the day, like, the original Xbox and 360 of, like, there are things that I was interested in on that console. You know, things like Fable or, you know.
That yeah, 360 was a great console. Original Xbox had, like, Panzer Dragoon Orta. Like, there was interesting stuff on the original Xbox.
Yeah, there was stuff on there. Phantom Dust was on there. You know, stuff like that. And with the Xbox One, there's, I mean, other than Cuphead, which is coming to PC, there's nothing that I'm even the least bit excited for.
I love watching Killer Instinct, even though I have this weird love-hate relationship with it, because I love Killer Instinct so much, and this new one just, I hate the new character designs, but it is a really fun game to watch.
Yeah.
It's very well-paced. It's that the characters seem to hit really hard. Like, I would be interested in, if I had an Xbox One, I would be playing a decent amount of Killer Instinct. I would just, you know, switch to the alternate costumes for everybody and probably have a pretty good time with that game. And yeah, Cuphead just looks astonishing. But yeah, I don't think there's really anything else exclusive to Xbox One that makes me say, yeah, that's definitely worth getting over a PS4.
Right. It's just not, right? Like, I just can't see it. So that is my prediction, and I wish that weren't true. Like I really do. But Scorpio's revealed, nobody cares.
All right, they've talked about that the next big Halo game isn't going to be there, but there is going to be some sort of something for the Halo fans. Mm-hmm. So my guess is that it's going to be a side-scrolling Halo action game from what was it, Armchair, the people who did that that Metroid-style game. Boy, I'm blanking on the name of it right now. It's Xbox 360. It was really, 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 really big. Everybody talked about it as like the second coming of Metroid.
Oh, that one.
Damn, I can't remember what that game's called. It was pretty decent too. It was like a 2.5D kind of thing. But that's what I think.
Did not end up being the second coming of Metroid, apparently, because can't even remember the name.
Well, it's like so many other like Axiom Virgin stuff. So many better. I don't know better. Is it Rogue something Shadow? Mm. Let's see.
Shadow Complex.
I'm not even sure if it was. Was it
Shadow Complex?
Maybe. Now I'm even second guessing if it was Armchair that made it.
I don't know.
I think it might be Shadow Complex.
Mm-hmm.
This is riveting stuff right here. Evan, you better edit this out.
I mean, Shadow Complex is good. Like, I have it. I have the PS4 version. Like, it's fun, but it's not the second coming of Metroid. Good.
It's a 2D Metroidvania type game, right? Shadow Complex?
Yeah, but it's like military industrial complex kind of
stuff. It's Chair, not Armchair. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
When that came out, everyone was talking about it like it was the second coming of Metroid because there hadn't been a console game of that caliber in a long time. And it was on 360 at first.
Yeah.
And it was like everybody had a 360. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm guessing that Chair, or if that company even still exists, but somebody, they're making a 2D side-scrolling Halo action game, Metroidvania style. That's my prediction.
All right, then. I have my Halo prediction actually ended up in the silly thing, but we'll get there. All right, my next prediction for Microsoft is that Battletoads will once again be teased. Nothing will be said about it, but somebody will have like a t-shirt or a hat or something of that, you know, whatever.
And, just one of those, like, we own this property, suckers.
Yep. And, like, everybody will be like, aw, is there a thing? Is it going to happen? No, it's not going to happen.
That's sad.
Yeah.
Zits, or whichever Battletoad it is, just looks stupid in Killer Instinct.
Isn't it Zits, I think?
I think it's Zits, and he just looks stupid. I don't back that one. I like it when there's, you know, fun crossovers. I love the Battletoads are in Shovel Knight. That's pretty awesome, except for the fact that it's stuck on Xbox One.
Right.
But
it's not the 360 one. So,
oh crap, is it 360? I don't even remember.
I don't know. It might be.
Either way, that was a smart crossover. Them and Killer Instinct? No. That's just creepy looking. Anyway, my second prediction is there's going to be a giant showcase of third-party stuff that's also on PlayStation 4.
That's probably
they're going to show off, like, we've got all this great stuff, and it's all going to be multi-platform.
That's probably true. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. All right, you're next.
Sea of Thieves, the new Rareware game.
Oh, yeah. Did they show that like 2 years ago?
Yes, but now it's going to be like a Scorpio launch title.
Oh, boy.
That will, whatchamacallit, that will look really good. It will be Rare's return to form, and then nobody's going to buy it anyway. But it'll be the thing that gets people super, super excited again. I hope it doesn't turn out like Cameo, you know, where it kind of falls apart that way. But I don't know. I have faith in this one. I have no reason to have faith in this one.
I mean, I have a little faith in it, too. I definitely have more faith in it than Cameo because, I mean, Cameo went through a lot of development hell. Cameo was on the back of the box that launched with the GameCube, you know? Like,
right.
That game had been in development for a very long time. So usually when a game's cooking that long, it's not going to come out pretty great. But I don't know. They've been working on this pirate game for a while, and I feel like they really want to get it right. So we'll see.
I was just gonna say, like, I don't know. I have a weird feeling about that one.
There's definitely something odd about it. There's no, I don't doubt that it's not gonna sell. Like, I look at a game like that, especially on that platform, and no, that's not going anywhere. Especially if it's a Scorpio exclusive. No way. Unless it's like one of the only Scorpio exclusives, then it'll probably sell pretty decent just to the launch crowd. But that's about it. All right, my last one is pretty boring, but I think they're gonna shell out money for some sort of exclusive content for Assassin's Creed Origins. Mm. I mean, I think that's gonna be their third party grab, because I don't think I'm pretty sure whatever Call of Duty's doing is you know, PlayStation first. It's been like that for a little while now, so I think they're gonna try to grab some exclusive content for Assassin's Creed Origins, and I don't think that's gonna work out as well as they want it to, because something's telling me that the Assassin's Creed brand is starting to jump on the sled down Death Mountain there.
Man, I haven't cared about it in a while. I'm not the best judge for that sort of thing, but I think you're right. It doesn't seem to have the same fire behind it, and especially with Ubisoft's current track record of, like, The Division was super duper delayed and had a big fan base to start, but then the players dropped off dramatically, and the same thing with For Honor.
Yeah.
This latest thing that they put out, like, it had a super big fan base to start and then just disappeared, you know? So, I don't know. I think you might be right on that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those... It's just a... They shouldn't have annualized this series.
No,
it took so much wind out of the sails. And even if the games were good, you were getting diminishing returns all the time, because this isn't... Call of Duty's an anomaly. You know, the sports games are sports games, but this isn't Assassin's Creed should not have been annualized. And I think they're going to pay the price for it in the long run with that.
That actually kind of dovetails right into my last, I think, realistic prediction, is that the bulk of what we'll see from Xbox this year will be sequels, will be like Gears of War 5. And I know Crackdown 3 is a big one that's coming, and good for Crackdown for having a new game. But I think we're just going to see I don't think we're going to see a lot of new IP from Microsoft this year.
I would definitely agree with that. All right, what do you want to do next, Sony or Nintendo?
Let's do Nintendo, because we have, like, literally no idea what could possibly happen with Nintendo. But I think I have some good ones.
I think I got some good ones. So just to kind of wrap things up, Nintendo's already been doing some stuff. It hasn't been a great week for Nintendo.
No.
The Mega Man Legacy Collection 2 was announced and is not coming to Switch, because fuck you, that's why.
That's right.
FIFA has turned out to be a slightly gimped version on Switch, again, because fuck you, that's why.
Doesn't need to be, but it's going to be.
Exactly. Doesn't need to be. Like, oh, it doesn't run on Frostbite. Boo friggin' who. Oh, it's missing a mode for no reason. Yeah, fuck you, that's why.
Yeah.
And the Pokemon Nintendo Direct... Which was, oh man, that was like, it was like watching trolling happen. Just everyone's like, oh, they're gonna announce it, they're gonna do Pokemon Stars for Switch, it's real, they're gonna announce it right now, it's gonna be great. And then they start the thing up, we're all like, and here is our first Pokemon game for Nintendo Switch, and it's a port of Pokken Tournament from Wii U.
Right.
Yay. Ooh. Said no one.
Said no one ever.
So Nintendo's got a pretty salty fan base on their set, cooking right now.
They do.
Their folks are pretty salty. But they do have a lot of good stuff. They got the Pokken Tournament announcement, that's out of the way. Pokken Tournament Deluxe, they don't need to devote any time to that in E3. We already know they're not going to, I was afraid they were going to put a lot of time into ARMS, but they did a whole Nintendo Direct about that like a week ago or so. And so they got all that out of the way too. So the only ARMS you're going to really see at the at E3 is going to be the tournament. So it's pretty much all going to be, at least I hope, it's all going to be games. So my first prediction is that they're going to spend way too much time on the Mario Rabbids crossover.
Oh, God, yeah.
Like, this is a game that no one wants. And even though the descriptions do sound kind of interesting, this is a game that no one wants, and like they're gonna Wii music the crap out of this thing. They're gonna be like, yeah, Mario and the Rabbids, and they're gonna devote like, it's a half an hour thing, they're gonna devote like 15 minutes to Mario Rabbids.
Yeah, you're probably right. It's a shame. I wish you weren't right, but you're probably right.
Yeah. Now, of course, that could also go for the... Nintendo could forego that entirely, and it could all be during Ubisoft's show, which would make me happy.
Where it should be.
It shouldn't be at all, but...
No.
Well, anyway, what do you got?
That's true. My first prediction is that we will see a official, way too expensive screen protector for the Switch dock.
Really?
Yeah. Like something that'll protect it from like all the complaints, because Nintendo likes to do that sort of thing. Like, oh, you have a problem? Well, buy our ridiculously expensive version of this $10 item that could fix your problem. Hmm. And then people will.
Yeah, I don't know about that, because I think by and large people have stopped complaining about that. But who knows? I bought the glass one, and the tempered glass one, and it's gorgeous. It's wonderful. See? Stunning. There you go. All right, I'm going to predict that this is the safest prediction in all of mankind. I'm going to predict that we're going to get a final release date for Super Mario Odyssey.
Oh, yeah.
And I do think it's going to hit this holiday season. I'm pretty confident.
I would imagine so.
It wouldn't surprise me terribly to hear that it's delayed, but I do think that they're going to hit that target this year.
It would be a problem, I think, if it didn't.
It would. I mean, and they've clearly had enough time with this thing. Like, I think the game's really far along. And I do also think that this game is a pretty decent chunk of why we're not seeing Pokemon on Switch yet. Because if they announced Pokemon Stars for Switch coming out this holiday season, like, there's no way they'd be able to keep up with demand. Especially if it's also if they're also releasing Mario. Like, they're going to have a hard enough time keeping up with demand, because they're already having a hard enough time keeping up with demand on the Switch, mm-hmm. as is. So come holiday season, with a big Mario title next to it, they're probably going to be selling out. And if there was a Pokemon game next to that, that would just be so far in the opposite direction. It would be grotesque. So I think Pokemon's next year. But
see, and I actually think that is my next prediction. I think we're going to get the Pokemon Stars at E3.
Really?
I do.
Do you think it's going to be a launching this year, or do you think they're going to announce it to launch in like March or something?
I think it'll be like March, like early next year, like spring of next year.
That would make sense. You know, that would be pretty cool if they announced that and just to kind of show what's happening in 2018 a little bit. And also it would give them time to catch up as far as stock is concerned. And it would be a big surprise. Like this whole 8-minute Nintendo Direct with Pokken tournament was a big fake out. That would be pretty cool.
I think it'll end up being like their Steve Jobs used to do the oh, and one more thing kind of moments at the end of the worldwide developer conferences and whatnot for Apple. I think that might be the thing that, like, you know, like you said, kind of closes out the show and is looking to the future to keep, because as well as the Switch is doing, I think there is still some hesitation. I know that I have that hesitation of buying the system of, okay, but people were really excited for the Wii U as well.
I know that they're very different systems, and I know that
the reviews are certainly much more favorable for the Switch than they were for the Wii U at this time. Like, when this far into the Wii U's life cycle, people were already like, I don't know. We were already
starting to fall off the cliff at this point, and the Switch is only getting stronger. But
I think that feeling is still there.
They haven't announced anything for 2018, as far as I know. It's a big question mark of what's coming after this year, and if they can keep up the momentum that they have. I mean, it's not like there's a ton of games on the system. I mean, I think there's enough. There's definitely enough for me. I've never been bored with it, but at the same time, like, you've got ARMS and Splatoon 2 coming out now, but the last month or so has been like, well, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is great, but a lot of us have already played that, so...
Right. Mm. It's not that much better or that much new.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's, I think they it's really a need greater to show version something. Of an already great game, but yeah. it's not that old, so I don't know. We shall see. Well, I'm going to go out on a limb, and I really do think it's going out on a limb a bit, but I am fairly confident in I think Xenoblade Chronicles 2 is releasing this year.
Really?
Yeah, they said it was, and something tells me that they weren't lying. I do find it odd that they've been so quiet about it, and I guess I wouldn't be terribly surprised if it was delayed till next year, but yeah, I think it's going to come in like October or something. I think it's going to be their big game around October, and I think the game's farther along than we think it is. So
that would be pretty cool.
It would be pretty cool. It would be, I think it would be a really good thing to launch sooner than later, to kind of direct mm-hmm. people that are finishing up Zelda. Like, and yeah. now this.
And now this thing. Yeah. Well, I have two more, so I'll jump into these. I think we will get I don't know if it'll be like a compilation sort of thing or not, but I think there will be a Mario-themed sports package. Like, whether it's a new soccer game or a new Mario Tennis or, like, whatever. But I actually think we might get, like, a mini-game collection kind of thing.
Well, they just released that on 3DS.
I'm saying, like, the
Sports Superstars.
Yeah, I think we will get the Switch version of that.
Oh, okay.
And then I think we will also get the official reveal of the Switch port of Smash Brothers with Cloud and Bayonetta, because those amiibos haven't released yet, and I think the reason they haven't released yet is because they are holding them back for the Switch reveal.
I mean, they did date those. They did in one of the recent Nintendo Directs, they put dates on the both of those amiibos, I believe.
That doesn't mean the game's not coming then.
You're right. I mean, I would be shocked and amazed if those weren't in the game from the get-go. If they're going to do that was my next prediction, is Smash Brothers Deluxe and Mario Maker Deluxe. I think they're going to try to port both of those games over to Switch. And Smash Brothers in particular, I mean, it makes all the sense to do, just basically combine all the content from both the 3DS and Wii U version and maybe right. add another character, call it day. There's worth your while right there. That's a winning combination. Smash Brothers, you know, Smash 4 is a great, great Smash game. And to keep that competitive community alive, nobody wants to be hauling Wii U's around anymore, especially now that the Switch is out. So getting that up and running on Switch, rather than waiting the next, like, 3 or 4 years for them to crank out another a new Smash Brothers game, I think that's the most realistic approach, especially considering...
I think it's a safe bet, yeah.
Looking at how well Mario Kart 8 Deluxe sold, I mean,
yeah.
It's just sold stupid quantities, especially considering how many Switches there are out there. It would be very foolish for them to not try to capitalize on that with the other big hits from the Wii U, like Smash Brothers. I think we're going to see a proper layout of their virtual console / online service, which might make a little more sense of Capcom's lack of Switch support on Mega Man and Disney stuff. I don't know. Wishful thinking. Either way, they're gonna touch on that a little bit more. They just had an announcement of breaking down a little bit more of what it is. It's $20 a year. Like,
which is great.
Sure, sign me up. I'll take that. You do get to keep the games. It's not they reworded that, so the games that you get are kind of like, you know, regular access to a library, it seems.
Right.
So it does seem to be pretty well in line. The voice chat option seems a little weird, but something tells me there's still something we don't understand about that. So we'll get a little bit more into that. And the last major Nintendo thing that I'm certain is going to happen is going to be a lot of talk about unprecedented third-party support, but all major games will still skip launch. Like, we're not going to see Red Dead. We're not going to see whatever the next big thing is from Bethesda or whatever. We're just... the big games, they're going to skip Nintendo. There's going to be a lot of lip service of it being all great and... you know, everybody loves things, but I mean,
but you're going to continue to get gimped versions of FIFA.
I mean, look, I can't say for sure that it is totally gimped. I mean, we haven't seen the proper Switch version of FIFA 18. They kept saying that it is a unique version of the game built from the ground up for Switch. So it could be something very impressive, regardless of that one missing mode. Right. But it could also just be a cheap and dirty port of the Xbox 360 and PS3 versions of the game, which is totally within EA's wheelhouse.
That seems very EA.
The company that literally re-released the same FIFA game with a different title and an updated roster for the Wii. Yeah, that could happen. The other thing that is like, look at Capcom. Look at Capcom's like, oh no, we got great Nintendo support. We just released Ultra Street Fighter 2, which is a $40 version of freaking Street Fighter 2. But we're skipping Switch on Mega Man Legacy Collection and Disney Afternoon Collection for, I don't know why, those games seem like the perfect fit for, like, if you want to talk about a low-risk investment, is putting a bunch of Mega Man games on a Nintendo system.
Yeah, that seems like... it's a very curious decision.
Even if I wasn't a Nintendo fanboy, I would be looking at that decision like, what?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's very
what?
Strange. Very, very strange.
All right, let's hit up PlayStation real quick before we take ourselves a break. What do you got?
Okay. God of War will be the game of the show.
Okay.
I think this will be... the biggest thing to come out of E3 this year is the revamped God of War. It will break hearts. It will steal kisses. It will be the Ric Flair of video games. It will be amazing.
Yeah, I can play off of that a little bit. I think that we're going to get new trailers for God of War, Kingdom Hearts, Final Fantasy VII, and Shenmue, and I think none of those games are coming out in 2017.
Oh, I don't think it's coming out in 2017. I still think it will be game of the show.
You think it's going to be playable there?
I think part of it will be, yeah.
I see. My guess is that it's still going to just be a trailer. You're going to see more of the game, maybe a little bit of a walkthrough, but it's just going to be it's just going to be a trailer. I think.
I don't know, like, because God of War has the history of like having an E3 demo.
It certainly does.
You know, you're not wrong. That is a pedigree that it is established. So, I don't know. I think it'll be playable in some form. I don't necessarily know that it'll be a demo that's released that you can download or whatnot. But
I mean, just playable on the show floor for actual people to play and then write about. I just don't see it happening. I feel like the game's too far out.
Considering that we saw that opening playthrough already, a year ago. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility to have that section sort of finished off.
Well, that would be awesome. I'd love to really see a little, I'd love to see more of that game because that was really, really interesting. So
yeah, I'm very excited for it. I really do think it'll be the biggest thing.
All right. What's your next one?
I think we will see some major VR games, some games that are like, all right, we're getting we've gotten our feet wet. Developers kind of have an idea of what they're doing. These are now the titles that are like, okay, this is what we need to play.
Gotcha. So they're gonna make VR enticing to someone like me.
Right. They're gonna make games, not just like tech demos.
Don't get me wrong, Thumper is cool, but that game works just as well on Switch as it does on PSVR.
Right. You know, a lot of the VR stuff has felt somewhat tacked on or like, oh, here's a neat little idea, but they're not really fully fledged experiences, I suppose. I think this is where we're going to get the like, all right, this is a for real game. When we think of a video game, this is what we think about. It just happens to be a VR.
Gotcha. All right. I predict that they're going to follow up the Insane trilogy with a Spyro remastered trilogy.
That would be really cool.
It would be really cool.
Spyro's fun.
It certainly was in the PlayStation 1 era.
Yeah, he was a good mascot character, and for a collectathon kind of game, they were interesting, and they controlled pretty well. And yeah, I could see that.
I think they'd look great, all fancy and remastered like the Crash Bandicoot games. And the Crash Insane trilogy has gotten a lot of talk, so I think they're going to try to kick that pig again.
See, kick that pig. I love that. I went in a different direction with mine. I think we will see the Jak and Daxter comeback this year.
That would be cool.
I need some more Jak and Daxter in my life.
That was definitely a franchise that ran its course. And oh, yeah. I think it's been, but I don't think it's run its course like to the end. I think it's been away long enough that a good comeback could be something really cool.
Mm-hmm.
My last one is that Sony's going to do something to really, I don't know, promote some sort of PlayStation Classics line to counter their the old games look ancient remarks that have
boy, yeah,
that was not a smart thing for them to say.
No, I've got something about that in my somewhat silly predictions.
All right, what's your last guy before we go to break?
Well, and like Sony was really hard to do this year because they're so comfortably ahead and they're doing so much right.
And they're also so comfortable with announcing games 3 years ahead of time.
Well, sure. I mean, but like movie studios do that all the time and we don't even bat an eye. You know what I mean? I know what's coming out in the Marvel Universe up to 2020. And I knew that 2 years ago.
That's true.
You know what I mean? And like, and I'm excited for it. Like, I didn't think like, oh, shit, whatever. What are you doing for me in the meantime? Like, I didn't, you know, like video game players have a weird...
Well, to be fair, when you knew about those movies, you also knew all the movies that were leading up to it. Sony was like, last year's E3, like, here's all these great games coming out in 2018. Well, what are we going to play next year? I don't know.
But then we got Horizon Zero Dawn, and everybody went, oh, okay, I guess we're going to play that because it's awesome.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I do think on that note, though, that we will see a brand new major IP from like from one of their big internal studios. Like, I don't know if trying to think of like who would be I think like maybe Ready at Dawn might
be the Killzone people. What are they up to these days?
They did Horizon. They did Horizon Zero Dawn.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they're doing that stuff.
Yeah, that was their big thing. That was Guerrilla's big thing last year. And you've got Santa Monica working on God of War. And like there will probably be some stuff from like the guys who did like Flower and Journey and whatnot. Like that, Sony's always really good about doing like a big indie games spotlight, and I'm sure they'll have some stuff there. But I think like maybe Ready at Dawn, they did The Order 1886. That was a few years ago, and it was a really fun game on PS4, but it was pretty short. You know, it was like four or 5 hours.
Yeah, I feel like
that
game didn't really fare too well. I feel like I didn't hear too many good things about it.
Because a lot of the complaints that I saw was the fact that it was short. It was like, this is really cool. Like, it's over really quick and for $60 and, you know, it's just not really worth the money. But then, you know, that's a game that I picked up on sale for like 15 and was like, this is an amazing value. You know what I mean? Like, this game is incredible. Because it is. It's a really fun game. And Ready at Dawn had made... they had handled the God of War Vita games and done a really good job with those. And then this was their first kind of foray onto a big console title. I think maybe we'll see something new from them.
All right. I like it. Yeah. All right, everybody. Those are our realistic predictions. We're going to take ourselves a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the batshit crazy stuff that we know isn't going to happen, but we're going to say it anyway. You're listening to the Stone Age Gamer podcast from Geekade.com. So stick around. And now, here's a look at some of the other original content available right now at Geekade.com. First up, your monthly musical amassment has arrived, and Janelle Hawks has some killer tunes for you to keep your ears out for. This month has everything from Fleet Foxes to Lady Antebellum to Imagine Dragons to even TLC. Sure, she didn't mention the new Dispatch album, America Location 12, available now wherever fine music is sold, but I won't hold that against her. And you shouldn't either. In fact, you should go ahead and read Turn It Up, new music releases for June 2017.
You know what I don't want, Chris?
What?
I don't want no scrubs. No scrubs.
I should have seen that coming, but that actually did completely blindside me. Well done.
Did it really? All right. Well, don't go chasing waterfalls, my friend. Next, Welcome to the D-List is back, and after a brief hiatus, Jonathan is finally ready to induct another classically overlooked character to the much coveted D-List, and this one's got 4 legs. He's been in the movies, he's got his very own spacesuit, and he'll gladly accept begging strips if you're kind enough to be giving them away Read all about it in Welcome to the D-List, Cosmo, the space dog.
He's so cute.
He really is.
Then, some say the Olympics are the greatest sports show on Earth. I say it's American Ninja Warrior.
Do you? Do you
say
that?
No, I say it's Ninja Warrior. Although American Ninja Warrior is a lot of fun. Some say it's March Madness, but Chip Garrison says it's the NHL playoffs. And after reading this article, you might just agree with him. He's got 26 alphabetical reasons why this year is a perfect example of why hockey is the coolest game on Earth. So head over to the Think Tank and check out the ABCs of the Stanley Cup Finals 2017 style.
Everybody is incorrect. It is the short-lived Pat Croce-inspired Slam Ball, which was basketball with trampolines. That was the greatest sports show on Earth. Dumbest thing I've ever seen. Finally, if you haven't checked in with our good friends Brandon and Travis in a while, there's no time like the president to remedy that. In the latest
no time
episode,
like the president?
Is that what I said? I'm drunk. Sorry. There's no time like the present to remedy that. In the latest episode, Evan will edit all that. Our intrepid editor, Evan. In the latest episode of Apathetic Enthusiasm, they tackle subjects like the Twin Peaks revival, net neutrality, the new Pirates movie for some reason, and of course, a little Twilight Zone. Head over to geekaid.com and click the Apathetic Enthusiasm link for their latest goodness.
Not for nothing, I love the Pirates movies, and I totally wanted to see this new one.
Did you? I saw... So one of my friends posted a meme that upset me greatly. It was a picture of Davy Jones, you know, like with his face tentacles and whatnot. And it was him, and then a picture of like just a pirate talking to him, and then Davy Jones after he had stuck his tentacles in the dude's mouth to kill him. I don't know if you remember that scene.
I do.
The text was, "Want to know what hentai is?" Then the guy with a question, and then that picture of his tentacle in his mouth. And I went, oh, god damn it.
I liked the effect that they had on the bad guys in this new movie, where they look like they're always underwater. That's kind of cool looking.
It is cool. Like, I'll watch it. I'm not happy about it, but, like, I'll watch it.
I remember, like, the fourth one, I was all like, wow, this is like a Pirates movie without that dumb love story with Orlando Bloom and Keira Knightley. It was just Pirates. That's great. I'll take it. Give me more. Pile on Jeffrey Rush.
Yeah.
Pile on more. Dude had a fucking peg leg in the fourth one. I'm like Pirates.
I'm sold.
Anyway, you can catch all this great stuff plus tons of other articles, videos, podcasts, and more right now at geekaid.com. And we are back. I didn't realize that Dan had some third-party predictions, so Dan, hook us up with your realistic third-party predictions.
All right, I'm going to give you my four real ones and then my four silly ones to lead us into our maybe-not-so-realistic prediction.
All right,
Call of Duty World War II will be amazing and will be the game that brings fans back into the series.
Huh.
And that is actually a realistic prediction because we all... Like, we grew up playing the World War II shooters and then went, I'm kind of tired of these, and then did all the Modern Warfare stuff, and now the pendulum is about to swing back. So that's that. The new Tomb Raider game will fully debut. We will get, like, official, like, a trailer and a whole bunch of stuff, and it will further cement the fact that that is possibly the greatest reboot in the history of video games. We will get a new thing from Bethesda. They will do a whole big show about a bunch of games that I will think that I care about and then realize that I just don't like playing Bethesda games. But they will be awesome games nonetheless. And then my final realistic prediction, and I really hope that this is true. I may be a year early, though. The Final Fantasy VII Remake will get a release date. The pricing will be announced officially. And... in keeping with tradition, we will get a full remake of the original demo.
That would be great.
That's what I think that may be a year early, but that would kind of be awesome.
Huh. Cool.
So, okay. My four third-party games that probably aren't going to happen, but would be awesome. Beyond Good and Evil 2. KOTOR 3. Knights of the Old Republic 3.
Oh, keep dreaming.
Half-Life 3 and Portal 3.
Is that the Dean Memorial?
The Dean and Tiff Memorial Half-Portal 3 prediction for E3 this year. It's really more the Tiff Memorial. But the Half Portal 3, one of these years we're going to be right, Chris.
It's true. Yeah. Every year I keep saying, like, it's one of my silly predictions too, is that we're going to get that we're going to hear about the Nintendo funded Switch exclusive Beyond Good and Evil 2 formally.
Right. The long awaited follow up to Clue Clue Land will be announced as a Switch exclusive. No, I mean, Half-Life 3 and Portal 3 have to happen at some point. They have to.
They do. I mean, they should.
Well, they should. Okay. That's fair. They don't have to, I suppose. But.
Right, yeah.
All right, so I've got my unrealistic predictions broken down by console again. Do you?
No.
Okay.
My last one is fantastic.
All right, well, give me start with your Microsoft ones. Anything related to Microsoft unrealistic?
Microsoft is leaving the console space after the Scorpio and focusing solely on PC and smart devices. Xbox games will be coming exclusively to Switch and 3DS because Microsoft and Sony do not get along.
I kind of have the same thing, except the Switch exclusivity thing. Scorpio will be the last console that Microsoft puts out, and they will just go full PC gaming from that point on. Like, mm-hmm. Microsoft will have some sort of, like, Xbox Drive built into their PCs going forward.
Yeah, and like they'll keep the Xbox brand alive, but at this point making a home console, they're just like, why are we fucking bothering?
Right, and why are they?
Yeah, really, at this point, they're just making high-end PCs that connect to your television. Like, just...
Right, just keep making Windows and keep making games for Windows.
Yeah, I mean, like, you can keep the Xbox brand alive all you want and just let Sony and Nintendo have their shelf spaces, and those two companies can very easily coexist. I mean, what is that? That's what Sony just said. Like, recently, they were like, no, we're not concerned about the Switch. We actually think they look really nice next to each other. I'm like, I agree.
I do. I like it. I have another Microsoft-centered one here. It is, they said they would have a little something for the Halo fans. Mm-hmm. We're finally going to get that Halo TV show.
Oh, haha, yeah.
It's finally going to happen, officially. We're going to get a trailer and everything.
This is a real go-out-on-a-limb one here, okay? This is a real batshit crazy, never going to happen. Microsoft will do something exclusive and awesome.
I actually have two that tie into that as well. It will be exclusive. I don't know if this one will necessarily be awesome. I mean, it probably would be, but I think maybe we'll get Left 4 Dead 3 this year. That would be a big thing for Scorpio. But what I actually think might happen, and I have no idea why I think this might happen, which means it most definitely won't, but we will see an exclusive reboot of Splinter Cell for the Scorpio.
Ooh, interesting.
That might be a thing that gets people excited for it.
Might be.
You know, because not that I think Death Stranding is going to be anything like Metal Gear Solid, but will kind of refire up the Kojima and, you know, Ubisoft war.
Yeah. I don't want to say my last Xbox One yet because it's too crazy.
Okay.
So. All right. I'm going to move on to something else. I'm going to say that Kingdom Hearts 3 and Final Fantasy VII Remake are eventually going to find their way to Switch as well.
I think that's probably a safe bet.
I think it's like 50-50. I mean, Square is on board with the Switch. I mean, they're throwing some stuff there. They like the Switch. I know these games are pretty huge. Kingdom Hearts and Final Fantasy both have a history with Nintendo stuff. More Final Fantasy, but...
Sure.
I think there's enough demand. I mean, the Final Fantasy VII Remake, obviously, neither of these games will look as good, but these games are also games that people want to play on a portable. So
yeah, that's
I feel
true.
Like that's gonna. I feel like they might try to make that work somehow.
Keeping with Nintendo, I think we will see Virtual Console launch that day. Whatever day Nintendo announces it, it'll be like, and you can access it in like 2 hours, you know. Because why not?
You can download Urban Champion in 2 hours. With new added online functionality.
Which would be awesome. Online multiplayer for Urban Champion. Be great. Oh
God, so bad.
I want online multiplayer for Super Dodgeball.
Oh, that would be freaking awesome.
Right? That sounds great.
They're going to announce a new Punch-Out game.
Oh, that would be awesome. That would get me hyped for a Switch.
Yeah.
I think I think there's going to be three games that we're going to see make a comeback.
Okay.
Or announcements. I think we're going to see a new Kid Icarus.
Ooh.
I think we're going to see a new Metroid.
Ooh.
And I think the one that will perhaps be the most shocking of all, but makes perfect sense, will be the new F-Zero.
Ooh. Oh,
with boy. How they've set that up, with bringing your console and multiplayer and all that, F-Zero's happened.
That could be so good. Well, I'm going to say, and I'm going to say that it's probably going to be Nintendo related just because of the people that are making both of these things, but I think, you know, there's been a lot of talk about a Bayonetta lately, and we know that Suda is going to be doing some Travis Touchdown. I think there's going to be a Bayonetta No More Heroes crossover game for the Switch. Mm. Tell me you wouldn't pay money for that.
I would. Would it be a fighting game, or like, would it just be...
It's just a co-op action game.
Okay, I'm in.
Tag team co-op action game.
I'm in.
They're constantly tethered by Bayonetta's hair. It's like a 3D Knuckles Chaotix with Bayonetta and Travis Touchdown.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I'm in.
I want the hell out of it.
All right. I think perhaps my boldest prediction is that Sony will make the Vita exciting again. That is perhaps the boldest prediction.
That is,
I wasn't sure
prediction.
Whether to predict that they were going to, you know, revitalize the Vita or kill the Vita and announce a third console that will sell even worse than the Vita.
The Vito.
The Vito. The Threeta. It'll be the Threeta. Yeah.
Now that Nintendo is officially done making 3D screens, Sony's going to start making them.
That's right. They're going to have a flip-up 3D screen Vita Go.
Oh, boy. The new Vita.
Hmm.
New Vita XL. Oh, boy. I think there's going to be a Metroid Double Punch. I think AM2R is going to get the official Nintendo remaster and release, and a brand new Metroid will be announced for Switch.
I definitely think we're getting a new Metroid. I don't know about the AM2R. I will buy a Switch for official AM2R.
I mean, we are in Crazy Land territory.
We are.
So.
We certainly are.
All right, I only have one after this, so.
Okay. I think Sony is going to announce PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale 2, and it'll actually be good this time.
Hmm.
Yeah, it'll have some fun new characters in it, and people will like it.
All right.
And then the one that I actually really hope happens is that PlayStation Now, the subscription service, will be folded into PS Plus, and that might come with a slight price increase, but I think that might get folded into it, or at least I hope it does. And then my final prediction is that based on the success and inevitability of the SNES Classic and the NES Classic, Sony will release the PS1 retro console packed with games.
Wow. That is some crazy territory right there.
But they'll call it the PS1 to kind of like just fuck over Microsoft a little bit more.
Yeah, that would be hilarious.
That would be kind of awesome. And I would buy that, I think. Like, if,
yeah, I would consider buying that.
Like a PlayStation 1 done in the style of the NES Classic with like all of the Crash games, all of the Spyro games, all Twisted Metal, like maybe throw an
cool
RPG
Borders.
Or two on there. Cool Borders, Jet Moto, Wipeout.
Like, that'd be good.
There's a lot of really good stuff that could be put on there. Maybe get Tekken in there, like Tekken 3. Just Eddie Gordo the fuck out of people. Like, it'd be amazing.
I like where your head's at there. All right, well, my final prediction is that Xbox, the brand Xbox, is going to get a new president, and that president is Guy Fieri.
Everything's got flames on it, like my arms and my shirts.
He's going to trounce him out on stage. He's going to do a new president of Xbox, and everyone's going to sit there staring at him, thinking, is this reality? Have we stumbled into the Matrix?
I kind of love it. Yo, not for nothing, I love Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. It's one of my favorite shows. I don't even give a shit.
I hate Guy Fieri so much. I can't stand him. I love the idea of that show. Like, I want to watch these, you know, greasy, horrible foods being made.
Yeah.
I love that aspect of it, but I can't stand. He makes my teeth hurt. Like, ugh.
I don't hate him that much. I don't get the Guy Fieri hate. He's a douche. But, like, a lovable douche. Like, he's not harming anybody.
I find nothing lovable about him. I find him, like, it's like he's Smash Mouth personified.
Yeah, that's true. But
he's like, it's not like the lead singer of Smash Mouth is a dude. Because, like, that dude exists and he's out there. This guy is the band Smash Mouth personified.
He is walking on the sun or whatever the hell that song was.
Ugh.
All up in your face all at once.
Shit is grotesque.
I don't know. This does really feel like a make or break year for Microsoft, right?
It does. I don't know. I mean, that's just the feeling that I'm getting from it. Like, I have a good feeling about Nintendo this year because they had a shitty showing 2 years ago, and then last year was just Zelda. So, I mean, they're kind of due for a little bit of a step down, but I feel like they're going to have a solid show.
I think so.
The only way Sony could go wrong at this point is if they're just so incredibly full of hubris that they just come out and be like, the only game you're getting next year is Frogger.
Yeah, I really don't see that happening. I mean, I know we're in crazy.
Sony's been there before. They've had really crappy E3s when they've just been like, you know, we're the top of the world. We're announcing the PlayStation 3. Giant enemy crabs, $600. Like,
yeah,
Sony has Sony things up pretty well before, just like Nintendo has. Like, those two companies really seem to do this thing where they get real high and then they're like, all right, fucking Wii music. What?
I don't know. Like, Sony's been pretty consistent since that moment, since Kutaragi was out on stage and was like, PlayStation 3, Spider-Man font, $600, and everybody went, oh, no.
Nah,
that's not a thing we wanted to hear. Fuck. Damn it, Kutaragi, you've ruined my dream. Like, they've been pretty consistently good, and I think, like, PlayStation VR was last year. Mm-hmm. We've got the PS4 Pro, we've got the PS Slim, the PS4 Slim, I think, is even getting a price cut to like $250 officially. Like, I think that's already been announced.
It's a temporary thing.
But they're E3, doing like that sale.
It's going to be $250 through E3 or something.
Which is crazy.
If my money wasn't tied up in moving to buying a new fucking house, I would be buying a PS4 for $250. Like, no question.
$250 for a PS4 is an insane deal. That is such a crazy deal. That's just nuts.
It's a very good deal.
Because they've got all the hardware out of the way, like, this is just going to be games.
Yeah.
You know, like, they don't have to worry about anything else. They can come and be like, God of War 4, the new Sucker Punch Spider-Man game. We could bring out Square Enix and do an Avengers game or whatever the hell they're going to show. Like, maybe we'll get some.
I want them to have something surprising there because they blew so much last year of, like, here's all the games that are coming out a long, long time from now. I want to see some surprises, and I want to see what else is coming 2017 for PS4.
I think we'll see that. I definitely think you're going to get a lot of indie games focused. Like, I'm holding out hope for Guacamelee 2 and stuff like that. But, you know, I think you're going to see games that they held off on showing or games that maybe people have forgotten about. Mm-hmm. And we're like, fuck, they're coming out this year. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way Death Stranding is coming out this year. But
oh, God, no.
But PlayStation has been killing it this year, man. Like Horizon Zero Dawn, Persona 5, Neo. Like people fucking went batshit for that game. They've been killing it so far this year. So I don't know. Like they only have to deal with games, and I have faith.
As do
I. I'm really excited about that new Spider-Man game.
I hope it's really good. I hope it's as good as it looks, because that thing looks pretty nice.
Sucker Punch doesn't really make bad games. Or no, it's not Sucker Punch that's doing it. It's, God. Whoever made Ratchet?
Insomniac.
Insomniac, yeah. There you go. Is it Insomniac or Sucker Punch? Fuck, I don't even know now. Either way, neither of them make bad games.
That's a fair point.
So, I don't know.
PS4, who's making that? Spider-Man. Insomniac, yeah.
Insomniac. All right, so maybe we'll see a new Sucker Punch IP. Maybe Ready at Dawn or Sucker Punch will have something to bring out.
You know what? I'm going to make a new prediction. I think that God of War is going to be so successful that every PlayStation character, every game on PlayStation 4 going forward is going to feature main characters with beards. That includes Doom Raider.
I kind of love that idea. I'm into it.
It's Lara Croft with a full beard. Yes. Spider-Man, beard.
Beard on the outside of the costume. Beards are good.
All right. You got anything else? Because I'm about ready to go to bed.
No, I'm done.
Spectacular. I'm all tapped out. That's our show. Join us next week where I won't be here because I'll be moving into my new house. But Dan and Tiff will be handling our E3 reaction show. Is that right? Is that going to happen or did I just lie?
No, you were totally truthful.
All right, cool. And don't worry, I'll give my E3 reactions in some way, shape, or form over the next couple of weeks. But they'll be holding down the fort for me while I'm gone. So I wish them the best of luck, and I hope it's a good E3. Once again, you can get in touch with us at mail@geekade.com, as well as all flavors of social media that we inhabit. You can like us on Facebook, find us on Instagram @Geekade, subscribe to our YouTube and Twitch channels for all our latest video content, and follow us on Twitter @the_Geekade. You can also find us individually on Twitter. I'm @GeekadeChris, that's Geekade KRIS, and Dan is @GeekadeDan. If you're interested in more information about anything we discussed here tonight, be sure to check out our show notes. And while you're at it, you can also subscribe to this and any of our other wonderful podcasts on iTunes or Stitcher, where if you're super nice, you can leave us a review, because any and all feedback is welcome and appreciated. We'd also like to thank our intrepid editor, Evan, for making this show listenable for all you folks. And we'd like to thank Mark TDK Knight for our show's theme, which you can check him out on SoundCloud and Bandcamp, or his website, which we have a link to in the show notes. Again, always remember to keep your eyes on Geekade.com, where we post something new, you know, most of the time.
Weekly.
We post something new, period. thank you again for listening. On behalf of Dan and myself, keep playing games.